All right. Welcome back. I didn't know it was going to be the 30-second deadlines, but I guess that's my fault.
What happened?
I don't know.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we are. We are. We all may right. have to again at some point.
That's okay.
I don't know. Normally we do that because, you know, like we've got Brian Williams on the line coming up in 30 seconds. Now we got nothing right now for a good half hour.
That's okay.
Yes, it is.
That's okay. I got a good solitaire game going here.
Welcome back to part two. Or as Jay just tweeted that, part deux of the Kaufman Show. Although we didn't call it that before. It was the Kaufman for our Super Fun Time Happy Hour.
That's right. It's changed now.
Where, you know, we talked about concussions and depression.
Yes.
It's all about labeling, Jay.
It really was.
It was mislabeled. It was a little mislabeled. What can I say?
It might have thrown a few people off when they actually heard the content of the show.
I think I made it pretty clear after I said the name of the show that it probably wouldn't reflect the content therein.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good from when I saw you 3 hours ago.
Let's pretend that people don't necessarily know that.
Okay.
And if you don't know that and you're just learning that now, Jay and I did an hour show tonight where we spoke with Patrick Burke from You Can Play in the NHL, and as well as Mark Fainaruwata, who is most famous for breaking the Barry Bonds Balco steroid scandal story. But he just co-authored a book with his brother called League of Denial, which we were talking about on the show a couple of weeks ago. And he works for ESPN. He's an investigative journalist. And it was really fun. And we're going to continue that fun tonight with Jonah Carey. We're going to continue that fun tonight with Torben Rolfsson.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, with Jay Farrar.
Absolutely. A lot different when you're here earlier in the afternoon. There's a lot more people around.
There are. I know.
Including the cleaning staff who look like Ghostbusters.
Well, he didn't necessarily look like a Ghostbuster. He just had the...
He had the apparel that looked like Ghostbusters equipment.
Like,
he
if
had
you were going out for Halloween and you needed something to reflect the machine that they carry on their
backs...
That's
right. Yes.
They have it here.
Right.
At Bell Media.
They do. And I was calling him Egon the whole time, and he wasn't pleased with me.
Well, I was laughing. Okay. I don't think he could hear us. That glass is pretty thick. It's like jail thick.
I might have called him it when I went out.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Out of the way, Egon.
Cool, Farrar.
I didn't do that.
Not cool.
I didn't do that.
Did you watch baseball or did you watch football tonight?
I mostly watched baseball. I was going back and forth, but I mean...
It was kind of a nothing football game.
Yeah, Colts, Chargers. It's, you know, it's week six. You know, I wanted, you know, nationally, I wanted to see... I mean, this is such an important game for the Dodgers. I really wanted to see if they pull it off, and they did. They did not without help from the St. Louis Cardinals, though. I mean, they were awful.
Awful.
They were terrible, and they're still not hitting.
Well, that's it. I've said to you before, they came into the game hitting 134 in the series.
Mm-hmm.
They still can't hit. It's incredible that they have a 2-1 lead.
And John Jay in center field had the worst game of his life.
Can't wait to talk playoffs with Jonah Carey tonight.
Yeah.
I have been riveted by these playoffs so far.
They've been great.
It's been incredible.
They've been great.
I love taking the month of October off socially and just sitting in front of my TV and watching baseball. And it's been amazing. It's just such a day.
You might have just taken the rest
out.
Of your social life off by saying that. But anyway, that's a different story.
Oh, it's true. The month of October often features me creating quite a dent on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite time of year for baseball. It's when I watch it religiously.
Well, I mean, it's the best time of year.
Well, that's it. And it's, I mean, again, every day, it seems like there's a near no-hitter every day.
Right.
Amazing drama.
That day last week where we had those four amazing games all in the same day.
Same day.
Yeah.
Man, I kill for that. That's
great.
The best. The best. And people, you know, I look at my Twitter feed and I see so much Hab stuff going on during an incredible game. And like you said, it's week six of the NFL. It's like game six of the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to care.
It's
maybe if I was
care.
In Buffalo and my team was 0-6, I'd be sweating it.
That's a problem. Or if I'm in Colorado and my team is 6-0, I'm happy.
I'm excited, sure. But it's with that pinch of it's early and do they really care? Look at the Broncos.
Right.
But they're 6-0 and it's early.
And it's early. It's early. No, it's a great time for baseball. And yeah, I mean, there's stuff to talk about in hockey, but, you know, wait for November to really start getting into hockey. Although, you know...
Well, I thought, I mean, if you
I'm
want
still
to
still watching it, but
if we want to go off on a tangent for a second, did you hear Don Cherry on Saturday night?
No, because all I hear is, oh, damn it. Oh,
oh. Leave that to the expert.
No. Yeah. Because that's all I'm hearing. Pat Roy.
He took Iserman to task.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Steve Iserman.
Yeah.
Because what does he know?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Because Iserman's views on fighting are not the same as Cherry's.
Yeah. Well, they're not the same on mine either, but I wouldn't take Steve Iserman to task.
Really, for anything.
Not for anything, no.
Maybe for his general managerial prowess in Tampa Bay.
If Steve Eiserman told me that my name was Steve, I'd be like, oh, okay, I wasn't sure about that, but you're Steve Eiserman, so you have to be right.
Just on a side note, do you remember when the Red Wings won the cup and went to the White House?
Yes.
Is Eiserman?
Bill Clinton called... Yzerman.
No, Bill Clinton... Steve is Eiserman?
Is Eiserman?
It was wonderful.
Mm. That's what I used to call him when I was a kid. And I never heard his name actually said in a broadcast, and all I did was collect hockey cards. So my brother and I would call him Steve Yzerman.
Yzerman.
That's what it looked like to me.
I guess you hadn't heard Dick Irvin call it on CJAD.
We didn't see much of the Detroit Red Wings growing up.
First game I ever saw at the Forum.
Was the Red Wings?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What year was that?
80...
Oh, so they were
86, 86, I guess it was.
The John Ogrodnik era.
Eiserman was there, though, at that point.
He was, but he had a good 10-year span with that team that was awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Jacques Demers might have been coaching. I mean, I'm not 100% sure on the timelines. I was young. That's my... and again, if someone could help me with this, because maybe I'm just confused and was a kid, but I have memories of Rick Hansen at that game. Coming out with the Olympic torch.
The man in motion.
Yeah.
All he needs is a pair of wheels.
Is that possible? I wonder if that lines up. I've got to find some sort of...
That'd be great.
If only there was some sort of magic computer that could tell me old hockey scores and stories.
Yeah, and actually show me the game.
Oh, man. I don't know. We got to get on
Start
that.
Start inventing.
People. I will. This is the Kaufman Show on TSN 690. Jimmy G, turn up that Wilco. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Very excited. Next week, I got to do my reading, Jay.
You're reading?
Yeah, we'll have a...
Bar mitzvah?
Not quite.
Oh. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. A reading rainbow.
The history of Canadian basketball from Naismith to Nash. Next week, we'll be joined by Brian Daly on the Kaufman Show. Should be very interesting. This is the dawn of the new era of Canadian basketball. Andrew Wiggins on the cover of Sports Illustrated. This is Jay Farrar's favorite Doors song. The Indian.
No.
In the cupboard.
Except for what he just said. That kind of
There's
is.
There's a monster. There's a monster. At the end of this book.
I told you, Jay, I didn't want to meet LeVar Burton.
Good night, moon.
Just want his autograph.
Good night, star. Good night, air. Good night, noises everywhere.
What are you reading right now, Jay?
What book am I reading?
Yeah. What's on the nightstand?
It's a book called Hellraisers. The life and times of Richard Burton, Peter O'Toole, and Oliver Reed. And
awesome.
Richard Harris.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
It definitely is. If all of these stories are true, it's amazing that one of them is still alive.
I'm reading Bedini's Key on in Me right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
There's a copy sitting over on Mitch's desk,
yeah?
I think, over there.
Ask him.
I'm not going to ask him. I'm just going to take it. I'm going to ask him. He's not reading it.
Take it.
It's the Kaufman Show, and we'll be back.
Now, Dave Kaufman hosts The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman, but also Jay Farrar. The Kaufman Show, only on TSN 690.
Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you. In advance of our conversation with Jonah Carey, we're going to play for you a little tune. This is Danny Kaye and his Dodgers song.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 O. I say O-M, O-M-A, O-M-A-L, O-M-A-L-L-E-Y, oh really? No O'Malley, Sandy Koufax, oh my Drysdale Morey, Wills, I love you so, and we defy, defy the J-I. J-I-N, J-I-N-T, J-I-N-T-S, Giants! Play ball! Orlando Cepeda is at bat with the bases jammed. Orlando Cepeda with a wham, bam. He hit a grand slam in the very first inning, but it's only the beginning. In the third, like a fight, we get two on and away. Then Fairley hits into a double play. Here comes Big Frank Howard, yes siree. Boy, what a swing! Strike three. Odem B, Odem B-U, B-U-M, B-U-M-S. Them bums, them bums, them dry bums. Oh, they may be bums, but they're my bums. Top of the fifth.
Say from Rhino Records, Baseball's Greatest Hits, which also features line. Such wonderful songs as Van Lingle Mungo.
You're right there. Never play that again, please.
Oh, if the Dodgers keep winning, you got to find me something else for the Dodgers. I'm going to play Randy Newman's I Love L.A. like everybody else.
Cindy Lauper. I don't care what it is. Just never that again.
Is there
again.
A Cindy Lauper L.A. Dodgers
who
song
cares?
That I'm unfamiliar
does
with?
Does it matter?
Just play some Cindy Lauper.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bring in Jonah Carey and let's turn off Danny Kaye.
Please.
We'll go from one reddish-headed person to another. Hello, Jonah.
Anakin just texted me to say he's going to do a cover of that song.
Oh, Lord, I can't even imagine. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. Congratulations are in order.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I see on Facebook that you have re-upped with Grantland, and you are officially a part of ESPN's Baseball Tonight crew.
Yep. Signed a bunch of paperwork today, so staying with Grantland, which is awesome. Love working there, and Baseball Tonight I started doing this year. TV stuff, and it's worked out well, and was doing it periodically, and I'm going to be doing it more regularly going forward. So yeah, it's great. The great editors at Grantland and really cool producers at Baseball Tonight. Very happy about it.
Will you still be based out of the West Coast or out of Denver?
Yeah, I'll still be out of Denver. I'll just be in Bristol about 1 week per month. So,
awesome.
Not too bad. And all things considered, yeah, considering how crazy 2013 has been, even being away 1 week per month will probably mean I see my family more then than I am now.
Well, good. Happy to hear that. And yeah, really happy to know that you're going to be with Grantland. You're my favorite part of that site. And your love letters to baseball every day during the playoffs have been just incredible.
I'm trying my best. It was actually a very straightforward game tonight, which we'll get to in a second, I'm sure. But it was just, I'm trying to come up with these grand sweeping narratives as I try to bang out this column. I'm just like, yeah, you know what? Looks like the Dodgers pitcher just kind of dominated. That was about it. That was sort of the end of the game.
Well, yeah, and of course the fact that, I mean, it's sort of lost in the fact that they're up 2-1 in the series, but the Cardinal bats have been just non-existent right so far.
Yeah, they have, and the thing is that the bottom of their lineup is not good. I mean, they really have no shortstop to speak of, so that creates a problem, and John Jay has just been brutal during the playoffs. He's made all kinds of defensive miscues. He made two or three today. They called on him to get a bunt down in game one. He couldn't do that. He hasn't been hitting. and he really doesn't hit it all against lefties. Interesting about the Cardinals. Let me see if I can pull this up. There we go. Cardinals this year versus right-handers are hitting 280 with some power, and against lefties they're hitting 238. So they've been terrible against left-handers. Yeah, a really big difference. You think of this Cardinals lineup as being tremendously good, but a lot of the reason they scored all those runs is just because they happen to hit well with runners in scoring position. But they're not a super elite offense necessarily, and especially against lefties, they struggle. So they're going to get Kershaw in game five. If the series goes seven, you got Ryu, and although Wainwright is going to go for the Cardinals in that scenario, I mean, you know, so far so good for Ryu versus Wainwright, 1-0 Dodgers in that scenario.
It's amazing to think where the Dodgers were a couple of days ago, and it's amazing to think where the Red Sox were after, 17 innings of baseball or 16 innings of baseball. In that series, too, it's one pitch, everything changes. And for tonight, it was a systematic Dodger win, which really we could have seen in any of the two games in St. Louis. It was just, I've never seen pitching like this in the playoffs, Jonah. I really haven't.
It's been amazing. You've got, veterans who've been pitching, Kershaw, Wainwright, guys like that. But, I mean, Michael Wacha has dominated.
Yeah.
Cole pitched pretty well while he was out there. Sonny Gray had a very good start. Lots of rookies. So, and Ryu is another rookie. So it really has been the case that we've seen that. And, we didn't know what to expect with Ryu particularly because his last start he pitched terribly. He gave up four runs in three innings. He was out of the game, and he didn't locate well. And there was even some talk that he might be injured. He had a sore back, which caused him to miss a start in September. And there were rumblings. It wasn't entirely clear what the injury was, but you would hear, what's Ryu hurt? Is he going to pitch the next series? And it was all this shroud of mystery. And then he goes out and just, three singles is all he gave up in this game over seven innings. That's it. So he was incredible. And, it really has been low offense all the way around. In a way, it makes the offense, when it does happen, more exciting. I mean, the Ortiz Grand Slam particularly, it was just this kind of quiet game, and all of a sudden he hits that, and then everybody goes bananas.
It was a fantastic game yesterday. I think yesterday is one of those Red Sox classic games. They haven't played one of those in 8-9 years, it feels like, and I know that they've won a World Series since then, but just for high drama, it was an incredible... The roar of the crowd was something else, and... Right in advance of it was a very Bartman-esque play on the first base line with Prince Fielder.
Yeah, Fielder goes toward the stands and reaches up, and he's reaching higher than any of the people in the stands, but there's all these hands kind of above his head, basically, and Fielder drops the ball. Now, it's very difficult to do nuance when you're a writer or a radio person or a commentator or anything, but I'm going to attempt it. Fielder made a terrible defensive play, didn't even open his glove, really, and you can make a case that it was interference. If the player does not reach over to the stands, he is not fair game. And really, people are not supposed to interfere with him. And people did have their hands up. They didn't touch the ball. But, if I put my hands in front of your face and threw you a pack of peanuts or whatever, you'd have a hard time catching it, let alone in the stadium with all these people. Oh, mind you, if it was the guy from the Big O, he threw great peanuts. It would be very accurate.
Sure did.
But aside from that, it makes sense that he would drop the ball. So I would say that's one of those cases where you fault Fielder and you fault the fans. But really that whole inning just illustrated the defensive difference between the Red Sox and the Tigers. Earlier in that inning, Miguel Cabrera, who's not a good fielder to begin with, and is so badly hurt right now, there was a ground ball wide of third, and it should have been his play. It should have been any third baseman's play. Couldn't make the play. Shortstop Jose Iglesias has to try instead. Throws the ball away. Johnny Gomes is on second. That's what led to the winning run. So that's the thing. The Ortiz Grand Slam happened. But the reason that the Tigers ultimately lost the game is because of the Cabrera misplay and the Fielder misplay. And, that could come back to haunt you. As good as the Tigers' offense is, and they got that great starting pitching, if you're miserable defensively, then that could hurt you big time.
I find that Fielder, I know it was a bad throw from behind Miguel Cabrera that the shortstop had, but I found that Fielder should have had that ball as well and kind of watched it go by and go into the dugout. You got to make a better attempt than that at first base.
I think you can make that case, absolutely, Jay. Yeah, it was brutal both ways around. And, you look around the whole lineup. When Johnny Peralta is in left field, but he's totally out of position and looks terrible out there. They just have multiple weaknesses, really. So it's just the kind of situation where it depends. It depends who it gets hit to, and you just have to see what happens. I think the Tigers are very capable. They're starting pitching. It gets lost in the shuffle, but the Red Sox nearly got no hit twice in the first two games. To have won one of those two games is amazing, but we haven't even seen Verlander yet. So that's the thing, is despite the Tigers' weaknesses, they have a shot at it just because those starters are so, so good.
Well, who expected, 17 Ks in the first game? No, wasn't that many, was it? Was it 12?
Sanchez had 12 in the first six innings. It was a lot, I remember, yeah. It was the first time that we'd ever seen starting pitchers, two consecutive games in which starting pitchers had struck out 12 guys or more in a game. That had never happened in the history of the playoffs, and it happened in this game with Sanchez getting 12 and Scherzer getting 13.
Jay had asked me earlier, do you think that this is a dawn of a new pitcher's era?
I think that's a bit much. I mean, offense was about what it was in the last couple of years. I think we just have one of those postseasons where that is happening. I mean, you know, it all depends on what you're talking about with era, too. I mean, if you go back to 2004, obviously that was the middle of steroids era, and that's a whole other story. But if you look at 2010, 11, 12, 13, pretty similar in terms of run scoring and so forth. So I think it's just one of those cases where this particular playoff, we're seeing some matchups to favor the pitchers.
Jonah, we've got a couple of series where, again, Boston, Detroit, it's sort of everything points to Detroit, but who knows what's going to happen. And you've talked about Detroit's weaknesses and St. Louis's weaknesses. That doesn't prevent those teams from meeting in the World Series, though, does it?
No, not at all. And St. Louis isn't necessarily that miserable defensively. They just kind of kicked it around today. There was a play where one of their guys got doubled off a second, which was brutal. I mean, they just kind of punted their opportunities.
No, but like you mentioned, the weak end of their lineup, and I mean, their bench is not deep at all either.
Sure. Yeah, the bench has some trouble. I mean, there's no question, but the thing is, there is no perfect team. If you want to talk about the team with the least weaknesses, that's probably the Red Sox, I would say. You know, the only thing that I could point to is really the guys before the guys. In other words, if their starter can only go 5 1/3 or something, you need to get to, let alone Uehara, but also the setup men, that's really weak. Now you're down to Ryan Dempster and guys that just should not be in the game. But they haven't had to deal with that yet. Their starting pitching has been reasonably good. The one time where their starter got cuffed around pretty well was John Lackey against the Rays, except that the Red Sox scored 7 runs off of the Rays starter that game, so it didn't ultimately matter that much. So, yeah, aside from that, you look at it and you say, well, the Tigers have the defense and this and that, whatever. St. Louis has this and that, but every team has it. The Dodgers have these injuries now, which are affecting them as well. So, yeah, I mean, there is no perfect team. It's very, very rare you go into the postseason and you see a team that you say, that is absolutely the club that's definitely going to win the World Series. I couldn't tell you who's going to win the World Series right now. It's wide open.
Well, I got to say, Jonah, to finish off here, I do want to get your thoughts on one thing. When I look at this Red Sox team, I have fears of them winning the World Series and us 20 years from now looking back at pictures of the 2013 Red Sox and remembering it as the Duck Dynasty era.
You know, well, you're both of you are facial hair.
Yeah, but not like that, man. Come on.
Well, I mean, no, but it's just, you know, we could get into a deeper discussion here, but I mean, I'm totally off the reservation on this stuff. If I have a little stubble, it's gone. Like, so I'm just, you know, you're talking to a guy that's, you know, more or less anti-beard. I think that everybody looks like a ridiculous lumberjack at this point. It's kind of stupid.
It does,
and the Red
though.
And the Red Sox are taking it to the next level because it's not, yes, there is a Duck Dynasty thing, but some of these people have no business growing beard. Like, if you're, I don't know, if your face demands that, oh, I get it or whatever. But you look at David Ross. David Ross looks like he's 75 years old. He's just gray and patchy.
Yeah, he looks like a skunk.
At least, you know, try to style it up a little. But the flower beard is pretty solid. I'm okay with that. But
damn right it is.
Going on. Yeah, man. But what these guys have going on, it's just, I don't know. I'm not really down with it.
It's pretentious, too, I find. I mean, in the 2004 Red Sox, it just naturally came about that way. You know, sure. Ramirez, and you could see, you know, the guys were growing their long hair and they had the beards, but it just because they were actually that way, they were characters. This seems all
contrived yep.
and pretentious, and it's like, enough already with the Red Sox, you know? My brother and I were watching, and we're like, you know what? We looked at each other, I'm like, I am so going for the Tigers. I'm so sick of looking at the Red Sox. I really am.
My attitude is, there is one sport where you can grow beards, carte blanche, and I'm not going to say anything, and that's hockey. If you're in the playoffs,
right. yep.
it's a whole thing. The playoffs are a long grind. It takes 2 months, whatever. If you want to grow a beard, that's fine. And everybody's from Saskatchewan everywhere. Anyway, so that's a given that you're going to grow a beard. I get it. But otherwise, yeah, I'm not really down with that. Can you imagine the NBA if everybody had these disgusting beards?
Oh, no.
And you're like, are these like sleek, agile athletes, and they're trying to dunk on you, and like they're, you know, scraggly beard. I don't even want to think about this stuff. This is not good. We need to end this trend.
We do. They look like the House of David. And the worst part of it is that the worst beard in baseball isn't even on their team. It's on the Dodgers. It's Brian Wilson, who has an elastic band wrapped around the bottom of it right now.
I mean, Captain Lou Albano was very popular in 1980, but it's no longer 1983.
Wow.
Jonah, thanks so much. Just to let you know, the tickets have arrived, so I look forward to seeing you in March for the Expos Met series.
Where's the book?
Yes, everybody in the stadium should come visit us in section 117. It'll be awesome.
I think you should hold a book signing in the section.
Yeah. Be around the same time.
I am actually hoping to hold a book signing somewhere in the stadium. I don't know if I could literally do it in the seats, but somewhere that is the goal. I'm going to talk to the publisher and we'll try to make it happen. And honestly, for people to go to a baseball game for the first time in 10 years, and there's an Expos book that people could read, I feel like that's a good opportunity. And I say that as a completely impartial observer.
I agree.
40,000 people there.
That's right. That's what we call a captive audience, is that me?
Jonah, thanks so much for your time. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, guys.
There he goes. Jonah Carey. Follow him on Twitter at Jonah Carey, K-E-R-I. The man is excellent. Jimmy, play us some music. Something Jay might like.
No Dodgers, please.
No Dodgers. How about for something for St. Louis?
Oh, boy.
Jay, I want to direct your attention to this. For some reason, Jimmy has turned the screen around for you to watch the video.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you. If I wasn't pissed off before, I am now. Thank you.
All right, Jimmy. Commercial time on the Kaufman Show.
Oh, God.
Our thanks to Jonah and my apologies for the music. Welcome back. It's the Kaufman Show. We got a quick segment in here. We're going to we got to give away those tickets, Jay. That's what we got to do. We've got a pair.
Yeah, we don't have much time tonight.
Of Blue Jays Mets tickets for the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
March 28th.
28th or 29th?
They're for the 28th.
The 28th.
I have confirmed that with Ivanko.
Okay.
The tickets are for the 28th. You can join Jonah Carey, Ellis Valentine, Warren Cromartie, Jay Farrar, Anakin Slade.
Dave Kaufman.
Who?
You know who.
There'll be real celebrities there. Come on now.
God, that Danny Kaye song is still going through my head. It's terrible.
This should help. Yes, no, you're good? You better now?
Yeah,
turn it down a bit?
Yeah, it's fine.
That's Jim James in my morning jacket.
That's nice.
One Big Holiday.
God.
Wonderful band. Just forget it. Just move on.
It's
just
better than
move on.
Danny Kaye's racist impression of Orlando Cepeda.
Of Orlando Cepeda? Yeah, eh?
God.
You like that?
People
like
are complaining
that?
About the Washington Redskins. Listen to that Danny Kaye song.
Oh, man. How about Bob Costas, eh?
Yeah.
That was very impressive.
Yeah, I just said. I mean, I can listen to him talk all day.
Yeah,
I love Bob Costas. I don't always necessarily agree with what he says.
No,
but,
I didn't agree with half of what he said yesterday.
But I love that he just says it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care.
I mean, he said that he basically said that the Redskins' name is on a whole other level than the Chiefs and the Braves.
Yeah.
And the Blackhawks. I don't see that. I think they're all pretty much the same.
No, I agree with him on that.
The logos are...
I agree with him on that.
I mean, that Braves logo and the 50,000 fans tomahawk chopping. I don't know, man.
Oh, well, no, that is bad.
Yeah, but it's all part of it. It's all part
of it. With
the
chant.
If they were called
non-existent Native American chant that white people made up.
Why don't we go back to calling them the Atlanta Crackers?
We should.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, see how white people feel.
Be offended by everything. just ask natives what they think about it, and that's it. You know, white people are too often deciding what is offensive and what isn't to other races.
Jimmy, let's go to the phones. We've got the chef on the line. Chef,
how are we doing, boys?
What's up?
Jonah for Commissioner of Baseball.
Oh, that's it? You win the tickets.
Oh, it wasn't for the tickets, dude. Seriously. Talk a little baseball tonight.
That's it? He won the tickets?
Well, Jonah for Commissioner. Who's going to beat that?
No, but boys, we have to talk about the state of baseball. It's time that they embrace a...
Jimmy, you got to turn the music down. He wants to talk about the state of baseball. This is getting serious.
Real serious. I mean, you'll understand when I'm done with this. We have to, the Major League Baseball has to start embracing technology that's out there. And I'm not talking about instant replays. I'm talking about a manager being able to talk to a catcher, being able to talk to a pitcher. Because when it's come to the state of baseball, the catchers are now wearing nail polish on their fingers. So pitchers will be able to see the signs easier. It's time for people to embrace technology.
Well, you think that they should have something in their ear?
God, anything but nail polish on their fingers? Seriously?
Why? Who cares?
What's that?
Who cares?
Well, I just think it's a little funny. It was a ha-ha. It was a joke. Kind of funny. Ha-ha.
Yeah, I don't know. I noticed Oakland's catcher wearing yellow nail polish. And
well, Molina had a bright orange nail polish on tonight.
But I mean, seriously, have pitchers' eyesight gone down so terribly that they can't see signs now? Wouldn't it even be easier for someone to pick up signs?
I gotta say, like, when's the last time you paced out 60 feet 6 inches?
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah, but it's not as close as you think, and it's not as close as it looks on television.
No, and I probably couldn't even hit the strike zone right now.
I'll tell you what, I pitched. This summer, part of a hazing thing when I was pitching for the Caribous.
How did that go?
I started the game. I pitched the first inning. I haven't pitched since I was 8 years old. And 60 feet, 6 inches.
It's pretty damn far.
It's far away.
Yeah.
And it takes a toll on your arm after a while. I pitched one inning. I was sore for 3 days.
What night? It was Sunday night. My buddy Sam and I played catch. It was a beautiful day. Sunday, it was it Sunday? It. Anyways, there was a nice day this week. Maybe it was Friday. It was Friday night. It was 20 degrees out. And just before the sun went down and the ball game was starting, we figured we'd go outside and we'd play some catch. Mm-hmm. And we actually did the walk-off of 60 feet. Man, it's hard to throw a strike from 60 feet.
Yeah, I know.
Like, straight out.
I had a strikeout, though, by the way. Just letting you know.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
It was all because of your
catcher's... No earned runs.
It was all because of your catcher's nail polish.
Yeah, no earned runs, no hits, one strikeout. Left the bases loaded, though. I walked too.
Chef, thanks for the call, man. You've got the tickets. If you want them, stay on hold and give Jimmy your info.
Thanks, buddy.
All the best. We've got John Kakalakis, who's at John K Sports on the Twitter.
Yanni K.
He's got an update coming up for you. Yeah, that's right. The Detroit Cobras.
What?
It's the Detroit Cobras. On the Kaufman
It's
show.
Racist against snakes. No, it's not.
No, it's racist against Michigan.
Oh.
It's the Midnight Blues on TSN 690.
I understand that every life must end, uh-huh. As we sit alone, I know someday we must go, uh-huh. Oh, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love.
Welcome back.
Some folks just have
my name's fun. Dave. His name's Jay. Sometimes we talk sports. Sometimes Jay gets scared by clowns.
Ugh.
You okay, buddy? You got a weird look in your eyes.
Yeah. Dave McGemsey has this thing about sending me pictures of Patoff the clown and saying that he's coming after me, and I just...
Okay, that's messed up.
It's so messed up. It's messed up that... It's more messed up that I'm telling you this right now, but Patoff the clown is... It's terrifying, Dave. It's terrifying.
How long have you had that fear?
A while.
Okay.
A while. And McGibsey, he really...
He seems to be capitalizing.
He's really exposed it, yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll be okay, though. Now I'm going to get 100 tweets with Patoff the Clown pictures.
They say that laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah.
So let's veer away from the terrifying Patoff the Clown
Ugh.
To the hilarious Torben Rolfsson. You can follow him on Twitter at VanGuy. And every Monday, Torben joins the Kaufman Show for his comedic sports-tinged stylings. Welcome, Torben.
Hey, guys. Dave, Jay, what's going on?
Not much. How are you, sir?
Doing well.
Good.
Yeah. Watching the playoffs and just generally enjoying things.
Oh, me too, man. I'm so addicted to it.
It's incredible, eh? Especially the starting pitching.
Oh, unreal. Unreal. My kind of baseball, the low-scoring games. And, I mean, sure, I'll throw in one of those games like last night any day of the week. But I love the low-scoring, the quick ball games, especially when the Red Sox aren't involved, because there's no such thing as a quick rep ball game with the Red Sox.
Yeah, it's amazing, too, that they can play such a long season and then peak this late.
Well, that's the game, right? What was the Mark Cuban line from a couple of years ago? Good teams make the playoffs, hot teams win championships.
Yeah, that's right.
So there you go.
Yeah. Torii Hunter, he upset the policeman in the Red Sox bullpen, didn't do anything to help. That's okay. At least he wasn't as bad as the fireman in the Tigers bullpen. I mean, who sponsors the Tigers bullpen calls? Kingsford?
Wow.
It was brutal. I don't know what Hunter wanted Paul Blart to do there.
Paul Blart. Paul Blart, bullpen cop.
Eating a donut, you know? What's he supposed to do?
Well, he did a great Steve Holt impersonation. And are you an Arrested Development fan?
Yeah.
He looks like Martin Mull. It looked like Gene Parmesan was sitting in the dugout, in the bullpen.
Yeah, and I agree with you guys. Baseball players, Red Sox A's, Brian Wilson, stop with the beards. You look like a mountain goat at an Arcade Fire concert.
Nice.
Why does the home plate umpire wear a black dinner jacket? Their passes to get into the ballpark say semi-formal wear suggested? Hey, guys, nice win by the Habs here Saturday night.
Yeah, nice goal let in by Luongo there.
Wasn't that amazing? That own goal was something else, ricocheting off Luongo's skates. The last time I saw a puck move like that, it was on an air hockey table.
Yeah, Steve Smith had some weird dreams that night.
That's right. NHL disciplinary news, the Canucks' Alex Edler was suspended 3 games for Jason Botford publishing Joe Thornton's comments. A Vancouver art gallery is prepared to spend big bucks for some Andy Warhol prints of Wayne Gretzky coming up for auction. You'd think they know better after the locals' experience overpaying for a facsimile of Mark Messier.
Nice. Jimmy liked that one.
And a new book claims Sheryl Crow witnessed her then-boyfriend Lance Armstrong blood doping in 2004. I knew that morning beer buzz was just a gateway drug. New York City.
What? All I want to do? Come on. Anyone? Anyone? I'm with you, Torben.
New York City is looking to regulate costume characters who wander around Times Square posing for pictures with tourists. Next up for the committee, investigating 53 men who have been impersonating the New York Giants.
Wow. Nice.
That one's for McGimsey.
Good job.
That's what you get for all those Patoff tweets to
yeah,
Jay.
Yeah, there you go, McGimsey.
I'm Googling Patoff as soon as I get off the phone.
Wait.
Just check
you'll
Jay's
see.
Feed, man.
Yeah. Check my feed. There's a picture up there.
At the Farrar side.
I will. And for Halloween, my niece is going to be an Oregon Ducks cheerleader possessed by marketing demons.
What's up with that eye? What was it, contacts that they were all putting in?
Yes. Oh, it's so bizarre.
Oh, man.
And finally, Virginia Tech is scheduled to play Tennessee at Bristol Motor Speedway in 2016. The game is expected to draw a record 160,000 fans and the world's biggest DUI checkpoint.
Nice.
Torben, what's going on this week in Vancouver, man?
I'm actually out of town. I'm on Vancouver Island, so I'm taking a few days of R&R and light work, and then I'll be back at it later in the week.
Amazing, man. I am jealous. I've always wanted to go to Vancouver Island.
Yeah, well, it's here for you. It's great. We'll show it to you sometime.
Good stuff. Have fun. This one's for you, Torben.
Okay, have a great one, guys.
Have a good night.
Take care. Bye.
This is LA. I want Danny Kaye back. All I want to do is have a little fun before I die. There's a man next to me out of nowhere. It's apropos of nothing. He says his name is William. I'm sure he's Bill, Billy, or Mac, or Buddy. And he's plain ugly to me. Drinking beer.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show, where normally our music's really awesome. I swear. Back me up, Farrar.
You know, it is. It is. What is happening today? It's just going to be playing in my head over and over again.
This one or the other one?
This one now, because I know this one.
All right. We'll bring you in on a good one, and we'll end it on a great one. This is The Kaufman Show. Stick around. One more segment to go. Welcome back. Running out of time here on a glorious night of radio. Been a lot of fun, man. I had a really good time speaking to Mark Fainaruwata and Patrick Burke earlier. Those were very interesting conversations, which are now up online at The Kaufman Show. Yep.
Yeah,
you can go check that out if you missed that earlier. TheKaufmanShow.podbean.com. And once again, if you haven't seen this documentary, it is available for free online on the PBS website, League of Denial. And by the way, the San Diego Chargers beat the Indianapolis Colts tonight, 16-9. Action.
Football.
It's so funny.
What's so funny?
The ability with one side of the mouth to talk about how hypocritical and wrong the NFL is. But on the other side, I'm rooting for my fantasy guy, and I'm checking to see how Danny Wood hit.
Well, because you enjoy the sport.
And I want Indy to cover so I can do well in my pick'em pool. And it's just, I feel like, I don't know. It just feels weird.
The weird part is why they're denying it. For me, it's a very simple case. It's okay. It's a dangerous sport you play. So here, sign this waiver that we are no longer responsible.
Okay, but what happens when it's the 18-year-old kid that dies from CTE who's been playing football for the last nine years?
That's why you have to set up now, starting now. If you haven't before, you have to set up the proper information for the parent. I mean, I wouldn't have a kid play football. I wouldn't. I would only, when I started playing football, I was about 17. I was older when I started playing football.
Yeah, it wasn't up to your parents at that
point,
right?
There are certain things like martial arts and football that kids should be only starting when they're in their teens. Having an 8-year-old kid play football is stupid. There's no point in it. Because, first of all, they don't have the athletic ability to properly play out the technique that it takes in both football and martial arts. Because as your body changes, you know, so does the structure of the game for you.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball's different because there's a lot of fundamentals in baseball. It's more about technique.
You're not running into somebody on every play in baseball. It's a little different.
Yeah, and soccer is just a brainless game anyway,
right.
So it's just kids just, you know, chasing around the ball everywhere.
Let's go to the phones,
Jay. Yeah, I'm going to get them now. Yeah.
514-790-1690. We got Johnny in Montreal. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, Dave, your mom.
Excuse me?
As many?
What'd you say?
Your mom. The real estate agent.
My mom, the real estate agent. Oh, no, it's not a prank call. I know this guy. He thinks my mom's Lisa Kaufman.
Oh,
she's not.
I see. Okay.
Just to say that soccer, in soccer you get the second, you get as many concussions, not as football, but the battles.
Sure, when two guys jump up in the air for a ball and they hit their heads.
And the weight of the ball.
Yep.
It's up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
My call is I'd love to see Bob Costas talk about League of Denials. That's when I would just hold on my pants and just...
that one, pull a Joe Thornton, right?
Yeah, I would do that.
Okay, good.
Second, that's where I see it will never happen. I think in Liga de Denials, they're saying that there's no contact football by the age of 14. That's a new rule, I think, that's going around in the States. So hopefully that will
come to fruition. I don't know if that's the case.
Well, hopefully.
There'll be a lot of families in Texas protesting that one, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what.
And the NFL is saying they'll be in revenue by in 5-10 years, $25 billion they're looking at. That it's a business, and I see them doing, despite all this concussion and CTE and all that, they're going to make it. They're just such a huge behemoth, biggest league in the world. They're going to find
scary
out.
Scary, though, isn't it? Have you seen the documentary?
Really, yeah, it was enlightening and incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable stuff. It was a real thrill to speak with Mark Fainarawada tonight about it.
And, you know, and looking back in back in the day with NFL films with all those tackles.
Oh, that glorifies it, I know.
And then just looking at that program, the way the hits come at such a ferocious pace, is like, I was going, wow. I mean, I was enjoying that, and... Mind you, I bet every weekend, so it's
and there you go. And there you go. And that's what we all wrestle with. And even the guy I spoke to tonight said he watched the Niners and the Raiders yesterday, that his brother, who co-wrote the book with him, is a season ticket holder for the Niners. Thanks for the call, Johnny. We appreciate it. Let's go to Travis in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Travis.
Hello, Dave and Jay.
How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. It was a great interview today, by the way.
Thank you.
My thought is just this. I mean, the...
No, wait, because I can. Why not? Which one?
Which one? Oh, well, all of them, of course. The Kaufman Show, both episodes were fantastic.
Cheers, man.
Yeah.
I was happy we got to... You know, I was happy Patrick chose to speak with us about...
Oh, it was amazing.
That was... I mean, that guy, I admire the hell out of that guy.
He is... he gives you hope that maybe the sports leagues do the right thing.
That's right. That's right.
But my thought is this, though, is that the NFL is the poster child for taking media money and just going, you know, going with it. And as you see, you've been watching the playoffs this year, in MLB, of course. Have you noticed that the media is treating it more and more like they do NFL playoff games? It's starting to feel more and more like the NFL.
What do you mean?
In terms of the hype, the production values. And now they've got the flying cameras. They've got all the advanced directing techniques to make it more of a spectacle than even before.
Maybe with Fox now, but I thought the TBS's visual coverage was terrible.
No, it was.
Missed stuff left, right, and center. I felt like it was guys who had never done a ball game before. It was kind of like when NBC started doing hockey.
It was. Well, yeah, I mean, NBC's bad at hockey.
They're better now, but when, I mean, obviously nobody touches.
Nobody cares, though.
Right.
That's the problem. Because, you know, even the worst ranked NFL football game is a national televised game and will beat 5 out of 10 regionally broadcast NHL games.
And that's another thing. I keep seeing every day I wake up and they say that 5 point whatever million people watched the baseball game last night, up 8% over last year, but still half as many as the Thursday night football game.
Well, the Thursday night football game is, of course, national. So that you know, makes a big difference.
Isn't it national on the NFL network?
It is, but that network is required to be carried. Again, as we go back to media.
God bless America, Travis.
Yeah, indeed. And the question I'm wondering, though, is that all these things have made these sports so much more accessible. We can thank them for that. We can thank them for satellites, and now we have NHL Network and the MLB Network and the NFL Network. And I love the MLB Network. It's a very well-produced thing. But should we be happy that the NFLization of the North American sports leagues is taking it in this direction in terms of big media money?
Oh, I mean, man, that is a very interesting.
A
yeah.
Not a question for 6 minutes.
No, especially when there's a 4 minute Plaskett song in there, too.
Indeed.
But that is food for thought, and that's something that I'd like to know more about before commenting on. But I will watch this week with an eye towards that and see if I feel the same that you felt.
Indeed.
Thank you, Travis.
Have a good one, guys.
You too. I want to thank all our guests from tonight. I want to thank Jonah Carey. I want to thank Torben Rolfson. And what the hell, Jay? We'll thank Patrick Burke and Mark Fainaruwata once more.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a really fun night. Hope you enjoyed it, Jay.
I did.
Good.
I did.
Good. So do I. Thanks to Marco Polo for producing the first part of the show. And our thanks to Jimmy G.
For part deux.
Part deux.
Deux.
And to John Kay for helping us out. I'm Dave Kaufman. That's Jay Farrar. This is Joel Plaskett.
Listen up, kid. It's not what you think. Stayed out too late. Had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house if your house burns down. There's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel, we're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge anyway, because it's fun. Davy and me, face down in our soup, some French restaurant, I saw Riviere de Loup. Last night at a tour, we burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
Been listening to The Kaufman Show on TSN 690. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll see you next Monday night.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?